This morning we're going to continue our peace series. I'd like to ask you to pray with me as we open our heart to God's Word. Father, I just humble myself before you, and as always, Lord, I confess that I need your help. Lord, that I need the help of the Holy Spirit, Lord, to speak life this morning, words that are spirit and life. And I pray, Father, that as we look to the Word of God, as we hear your Word together this morning, that our hearts are open and receptive. Lord, that we receive it with meekness. Lord, that it might truly change us, that you be glorified in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. In this series on peace, we are learning how to live in the peace that Jesus gives. There's an epidemic of stress in our world, and I'm telling you that it is a sickness of the soul that can rob you of your peace, first of all, but it can also keep you from enjoying the life that God has for you. You know, some people think that stress is just part of life. But I want you to understand that that is not part of the abundant life that Jesus wants to give us, because he wants to give us peace. The truth is that so often stress becomes an inroad for the enemy of your soul to bring destruction in your life. Stress will take a toll on a marriage. In fact, stress will take a toll on all of your relationships with those who matter most to you. Stress will take a toll in your workplace. Stress will many times even destroy a ministry. I read an article in Charisma magazine some years ago about someone who had a nationally known ministry, but because of tremendous stress in their life, they developed a severe depression. And ultimately, it was the fact that they didn't deal with stress in the right way that it crippled their ministry and then destroyed their ministry. You know, that story could be repeated in one way or another 1,000 times over, not only with those in vocational ministry, but so many in the body of Christ who have worked and served for the Lord, but because of the stress of life and the pressures and anxiety that got the best of them, they no longer serve. They no longer work for the Lord. Jesus said that the cares of this life can choke out the seed of the Word of God, keeping us from being unfruitful. And how true that is. So we need to overcome stress. We need to find out, we need to learn how we can truly have this peace that Jesus gives. We all have opportunities for stress all the time. In this generation, it seems like even teenagers have to deal with stress. How we need the Lord's peace. Now, last week I shared a message with you about praying with thanksgiving. We should never be anxious, but everything, we take it to God with prayer and thanksgiving. Here's the verses, Philippians 4, 6, and 7. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. See, we turn it over to God and we thank him for taking care of it, and he gives us this peace that passes understanding. It is beyond our comprehension. It is beyond what the carnal mind, the natural mind, can understand. It passes understanding. It doesn't make sense to the natural mind. That peace that passes understanding, you see, it's not an outward peace. No, it has to be an inward peace, because sometimes he calms the storm, but sometimes he gives us peace in the midst of great conflict. In fact, when Jesus said, "My peace I give unto you," he was preparing the disciples for a great time of persecution that was to come. It seems like in the church today in America, just the slightest hint of any persecution and people just come unraveled. I mean, we don't experience any persecution at all compared to those in Bible times or those in many foreign countries, and yet it seems like Christians just totally lose their peace and become filled with anxiety at the slightest hint of any kind of persecution. And so we are also with conflict in our life many times, and I'm telling you, there's a peace that we're supposed to have on the inside, no matter what's going on the outside. This is very important, the peace that passes understanding. Listen, it's a peace on the inside. You can't have peace on the inside if your mind is filled with anxious thoughts. You see, last week we talked about you pray with thanksgiving, and He gives a peace that passes understanding that will guard your heart and mind. But what happens with so many people is that they pray and they thank God for taking care of it, and yet they go right back to the same old thought patterns. They go right back to thinking the same anxious thoughts, to dwelling on the same bad things, to worrying. That's why the very next verse, Philippians 4:8, he says, "Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of a good report, if there is any virtue and if there's anything praiseworthy, meditate or think on these things." Think about it over and over and over. That's what it means to meditate. You just go over it and over it. So I want to ask you this morning, are you thinking about the lies, the fake news? Are you thinking about disturbing things? Are you thinking about the injustices? Are you thinking about the impure things? Are you thinking about the ugly things and the bad reports? Most are. That's why we have such an epidemic of stress. It's going to be really hard to ever have peace that way. You can usually tell what people are thinking before long, because eventually it's going to come out of their mouth sooner or later, some sooner, you know. I mean, some just as soon as they encounter any problems or difficulty or hear any bad news, they're telling the world about it. But some, even though they may be more quiet and reserved, eventually it comes out. Jesus said, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks, and the things that we dwell on and think on all the time get down in our heart, and eventually they come out of our mouth. So if you're talking about all the lies and the bad things and talking about the injustices in our world and you're talking about all the unholy things, I'm telling you this morning, your thinking is messed up. You can't have peace that way. You got to think on these things, the things that are true, the things that are just, the things that are pure, the things that are lovely, the things that are praiseworthy. Think on these things. Our fight of faith is many times won or lost in our thought life. Once we've prayed and we've given thanks, we have to refuse to go back to those same negative thoughts. Carmen and I learned this in believing for healing. And I'm telling you, it's a principle that we really need in every area of our life. Negative thoughts will come against your faith. What if this? Or you get a report from the doctor. The doctor said, and you know, these negative thoughts come into your mind, and you just have to decide you're not going there. You just have to decide that you're not going to think that way. You're not going to go on with that thought pattern. But instead, you're going to turn your thoughts to the Lord. Turn your thoughts to His Word. I'm telling you, if you're ever going to have peace in your mind, you got to win this battle for your mind and your thought life. Isaiah 26:3, this is our key verse this morning. It's a familiar verse to many of you, but I think it's one that we really need to learn how to apply in our life and really live out in our lives every day. You will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. Now, we read the words perfect peace in the King James and the New King James, but the word perfect is not actually given there. That was the translator's discretion, because what it actually says is you will keep him in shalom, shalom. It is the Hebrew word for peace, and it says it twice. Now, when the Bible says a word twice, it is an emphasis. It is like an exclamation mark. It is like a double portion. He is saying that we can have peace on top of peace. Most people would settle for just a moment's peace. And they say that sometimes. If I could just have a moment's peace. What they mean is they want other people to leave them alone for just a minute, right? But I'm telling you, most people would love to have a little bit of peace. But this promise from the Word of God tells us that God Himself will keep you in peace. Peace, perfect peace, double peace. Charles Spurgeon, he said, God does nothing by halves, but everything by doubles. And I don't know if that applies straight across the board, but he certainly gives it to us here in this promise, peace, peace. It's available to those who keep their minds stayed on Him and trust Him. The two always go together. If you keep your mind on the Lord, you trust Him. And I'm telling you, if you trust the Lord, you're going to keep your mind on Him. They always go together. Trust. Webster defines it as assured reliance on the character, ability, strength, or truth of someone or something. I like that definition because, let me tell you, my trust is in the character of the Almighty, and He is perfect in all of His ways. My trust is in the ability, the strength of the Almighty, because there's not anything that He can't do. All things are possible with God. My trust is in His truth, a God who cannot lie. His Word is truth. I'm telling you, He is absolutely trustworthy. There is not anything about Him that should ever cause us doubt, that should ever cause us to hold back or not fully and completely trust Him. The things of this world, the help of man, the Bible tells us plainly, is futile. Oh, they'll always let you down sooner or later, but God will not. He is trustworthy. The biblical word trust refers to relying upon, putting confidence in, and it carries with it this connotation of being at rest. In other words, when you turn it over to God, when you trust God, you're at rest. You're not striving, struggling. You're not anxious. No, once you've turned it over to God, you're at rest. You have peace. We don't have to worry or fret, but we can rest in the Lord. See, if you really knew for certain, 100%, that God is taking care of a situation, would you rest? You can know that God is taking care of it. David knew it. He said, "The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want." I don't think he's just talking about material things. There's a lot of people in this world struggling, striving, scraping, pulling. David says, I shall not want. There's a man at rest. He makes me lie down in green pastures. Doesn't that speak of rest? He leads me beside the still waters. That's a restful place. He restores my soul. That's rest. See, that's what the Lord wants for us. He wants our mind, our troubled minds. No, He wants our minds to be at rest. We truly have peace on top of peace. Perfect peace. But we got to trust Him, the one who's bigger than any problem. No matter how bad the situation, He can handle it. He's an awesome God. Every stress, every struggle, every battle, every problem should turn our attention to the Lord in prayer. And if we would just realize how big our God is, how awesome He is, oh, we can learn to trust Him like a little child. You see, my worrying and my stress won't change anything, but my God, He can change anything. I want to remind you of the words of Jesus from John 16, 33. He says, these things I've spoken to you that in me you may have peace. In the world you're going to have trouble, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. He says that He wants us to have peace in Him, but He tells us plainly you're going to have trouble in this world. And man, when trouble comes, it can wreck your peace. I mean, you don't have to wait very long. Trouble will come eventually. It's amazing how there's always something that pops up to steal away your peace. And if we allow it to, it will take over our thoughts. We'll begin to worry and we'll be filled with anxiety. I remember many, many years ago, there was a young lady in my youth group who was normally real easygoing, kind of laid back. But I noticed that she had been real anxious and just didn't seem herself. I could tell there was something going on, and she just was almost like visibly shaking as she was so nervous and upset about something. And with a little bit of prying, she eventually told me. I said, what's wrong? And she said, I think I have cancer. And I said, why? Why do you think that? She said, I have this lump on my head that just came up, and it's been there for weeks. I said, why do you think that's cancer? She said, I don't know. I think that's what it is. I said, have you been to a doctor? She was too afraid to go to the doctor. She was so anxious and so filled with this fear that she couldn't even bring herself to go to the doctor. I said, we're going to pray about this and believe God, and you're going to go to the doctor and get it checked out. And she said, okay. We prayed. She went to the doctor. I don't remember the technical term, but the doctor said it's nothing. He drained it. It was gone and never came back. And I'm just telling you, she was so worked up and so anxious and filled with fear. It had a grip on her. And how trouble comes up in our life, whether it's in your finances, your family, your health, things that are going on in our world, there's always something to steal away your peace. That's why our peace has to be in Him. We have to keep our thoughts focused on Him. You know, throughout history, people have always been through wars and conflict and all kinds of violence, all kinds of famines and desperate needs, all kinds of troubling situations. In fact, if you look at America today, we have such a life of ease compared to the rest of history. I mean, we're not in the midst of a great war right now. I'm not saying there are not wars and things that don't involve our country, but I'm saying most of us have never been at war. Most of us have never faced the horrific tragedies of the past and things that went on. You read the stories of the children of Israel and all down through history, all the terrible things that have happened. Relatively speaking, we're a blessed people. I mean, we've got it pretty good in a lot of ways, but at the same time, let me tell you, it seems like that our generation is the most stressed out generation in history. Why is that? I believe it is because of the media that we are able to know every horrible thing, not just that happens on our street or in our city, our community, but around the world. We know about all of the terrible things going on, the most horrendous, horrific things. And we can see it with our eyes in pictures. We can read about it. We hear about it. It's all around us. And I'm telling you, it brings such stress and anxiety upon your mind. You can't have real peace if your mind is filled with all kinds of negative things. And so it's so important that we learn to turn our minds to the Lord. Thou will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you. We have to learn to keep our minds on the Lord. Psalms 46, 1 and 2 says, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear. These guys, the guy that wrote this, I'm telling you, he really had a hold of this. I'm telling you. He says, even though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea. He's saying, no matter what happens, doesn't matter if there's earthquakes, if there's volcanoes, it doesn't matter what happens in this world, we're not going to be afraid. God is our refuge. You see, you get your mind on God, you start realizing how big God is. You want to talk about a big problem? Let me tell you, he spoke the worlds into being. There's no problem that's big for God. We need to quit magnifying our problems and start magnifying our God and get our minds on him. There's no trouble in your life that the Lord can't handle. We don't have to fear. We can trust him in that double peace will come. It seems like a lot of times people only trust the Lord as a last resort. When we've exhausted all other resources and avenues, we say, well, I guess we're just going to have to trust the Lord. Has it come to that? Now we're going to have to trust the Lord. It's like if we had any other option, that's our last recourse, the last thing on our list, we're just going to have to trust the Lord. It ought to be the first. That whatever we do in faith. We trust the Lord. That we are always looking to him. I think that for a lot of people, the only thing that really gets their attention on the Lord is when they're going through a lot of trouble and problems. Otherwise, they just kind of live their life and do their thing. Sure, it's quiet in here. What if the only time our minds were really focused on the Lord is when we had no other place to go? I hope that's not what it takes for the Lord to get our attention. Some trust government, their Social Security, their retirement fund, their job, their bank account. I'm just telling you, everything else is uncertain, but the Lord will not fail you. We need to keep our minds stayed on him. Then there's rest. You see, you can always worry about what's going to happen with the government, what's going to happen with your taxes. Anybody get a big jump in your property taxes this month? How am I going to pay that? What's going to happen? See, if your peace is based on anything else, if your trust is in anything else, I'm telling you, your peace will always be fleeting. But when your trust is in the Lord and you keep your mind on him, then you know that it's going to be all right. You have a peace that brings you rest. You know, people say an idle mind is the devil's workshop. And I understand the principle, and there's a little bit of truth in it, that I guess especially with young people and children, when they don't have anything to do, they can many times end up getting in trouble. But you know what I see a whole lot more, and the devil seems to really have a heyday with, is people's minds that are so busy and so cluttered, they don't have room for God. I think the devil is way happier with that when you're just too busy and too preoccupied with all of your responsibilities and all of your life that you got going on that you can't even. It's amazing to me that in our culture right now in America that there are many, many, many Christians who can't even set aside an hour a week to go and to worship God and hear His Word and be together with the church. That amazes me. They're so busy and so stressed out and such a cluttered up life, they have no room for God. Jeremiah 2:32 says, "Can a maid forget her ornaments or a bride her attire? Yet my people have forgotten me days without number." He's not saying that my people have no recollection, like their memory has been wiped. He's saying that they never turn their thoughts to me. They never acknowledge me. They never think about me. They've forgotten me days without end. Now, I know that y'all thought about the Lord today because you came to church. Aren't you glad? Preacher would have been talking bad about you this morning, right? Perfect peace. That's for the one who keeps his mind on the Lord at all times. If you don't keep your mind on the Lord, I'm telling you, trouble comes. And you can certainly turn your thoughts to Him. But most of the time, when trouble comes, we are filled with anxious thoughts. That's not perfect peace. You see, I want you to understand that when trouble comes and somebody turns to the Lord and they say, "Lord, I need your peace. I need you to help me in this situation." I'm telling you that God's peace is available and God will help you, but I'm telling you that's not perfect peace. No, perfect peace is when trouble comes and you don't get anxious. You still have peace. You're not shaken by it. You don't get upset. You don't start running around. I just got to say it, like a chicken with a head cut off. That's right, he's an old country boy. I'm just telling you, trouble comes, but you don't get upset. You have perfect peace because your mind is on the Lord and you're trusting Him. Psalms 112 and verse 7 says, "He will not be afraid of evil tidings. His heart is steadfast, trusting in the Lord." Bad news comes, doesn't move you. That perfect peace keeps you. But the circumstances of life will always try to demand your attention. We got to keep our minds filled with Him, or else our minds will become filled with anxious thoughts we call worry. Jesus said, "Do not worry." Are you obeying Jesus? Well, sometimes. Worry is when we think negative thoughts and we go over them and over them again. In the King James Version where he says, "Do not worry," it's translated as "take no thought." Some of us, there are things, negative things, that we don't just take thought. We think about them over and over and over again. That's worry. How's this going to work out? What am I going to do? I remember one of those times when we were in a difficult situation as a family. And well, it's the one time I got fired. And here's the short story. When you get fired and you got nowhere to go, I want to tell you, you got to trust God. You got to get your mind on Him and you got to look to Him. But those opportunities to worry always come. Jesus tells us, don't worry. Some years ago, a professor at a leading American university did a study about worry, and he found that 40% of the things that people worry about never happen. 30% of the things that people worry about are things that have already happened in their past. 12% are needless worries about health. Again, they're things that don't really amount to anything. 10% are about petty issues. 8% are legitimate concerns. That means 92% of our worry time is wasted energy. I disagree with the end result there. 92% of our worry time is wasted energy. That's not right. 100% of our worry time is wasted energy. Because even that 8%, you are not helping the situation by worrying about it. You're compounding it, and sometimes you're even helping it come to pass. Do not worry. Worry, one man said, is practical atheism, an affront to God. We say we believe in Him, we say we believe He is Almighty God, then why would we worry about some situation in our life when the God of the universe is well able to handle it? Winston Churchill said, "When I look back on these worries, I remember the story of an old man who said on his deathbed that he had had a lot of trouble in his life, most of which never had happened." When we're really stressed and our minds are filled with worry, we go over that negative situation again and again. You know, a lot of the time we even use our imagination and we make it even worse than it is. We're thinking about a problem and it just seems to get bigger and bigger. But instead, oh, how we ought to turn our thoughts to God and think about Him. And listen, He doesn't get bigger, but in our minds He does. We begin to realize how big He is and how that there's not anything that He cannot do. So are you thinking about an illness, a doctor's report, or are you thinking about the Lord, your healer? Are you thinking about some danger, or are you thinking about the One who watches over us night and day, who never sleeps nor slumbers? Are you thinking about a financial need? Are you thinking about the Lord, our provider, the One who provides all things for us richly to enjoy? Matthew chapter 6, Jesus specifically is telling us not to worry about financial needs. In verses 31 and 32, He says, "Don't worry, saying, 'What shall we eat? What shall we drink? What shall we wear?' For after all these things the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knows that you have need of all these things." I'm telling you, we got to get our minds on our heavenly Father, on the One who knows our needs and is able to take care of our needs. A mind stayed on Him and a person who trusts Him, they always go together. If you're worried about money, your mind is on money. And the Bible warns us not to put our trust in money. Money's not the answer. God is. He's the One who supplies our need. He is the One who takes care of us. And listen, that flies in the face of the attitude in our country that money is the answer, the fix for everything. It is not. And it certainly shouldn't be in the life of a believer. No, God is the answer. Our trust is in Him. Is your mind on illness, sickness? Oh, how you need to focus on the healer. You see, a lot of the time when we begin to worry about something and we worry about it, we worry about it, we worry about it, it gains control in our life. It begins to master us. You know, there's another word for that in the Bible, Lord. It begins to lord over you. And I'm telling you this morning, you need to break free from that worry. You need to break free, whatever it might be that the enemy is using to capture your thoughts, take you captive, and instead put Jesus back on the throne and say, "You're the Lord of my life. I'm not going to allow these things to move me. I'm not going to allow these things to get control over me, but instead I'm going to keep my mind on you and I'm going to trust you. The Bible tells us in 2 Corinthians 10:5 that we are to take every thought captive. Take every thought captive. See, there's this attitude in the world that says, oh, well, you can't help how you feel. Listen, they don't get this garbage from the Bible. And they say, you can't help what you think. You might not be able to stop a thought from popping in your head. You know, Jesus said to the religious leaders, he said, why do you entertain evil thoughts? You know, you might have an evil thought come knocking at the door of your mind, a negative, an anxious thought, a worrisome thought. You don't have to throw open the door and entertain them. Instead, you say, no, I'm not going there. I'm not going to think about that. I'm going to think about the Lord. I'm going to think about His promises. That's where my trust is. My trust is not in the government. My trust is not in my job. My trust is not even in the doctors. My trust is in the Lord. He won't let me down. I'm going to keep my mind on Him. You know, it's funny. If you watch commercial TV, you can't watch TV very long without seeing all of these ads about different prescriptions. And it's amazing how when they're telling you about their product, they start naming the symptoms and you start going, oh, wait a minute, I might have that. And then you get online and then it just goes crazy. You start reading about all these symptoms and before long you're worried about stuff. And you can even bring some of those symptoms to pass in your body by worrying about them enough. By the way, side note, pharmaceutical companies spend more money on advertising than they do on development. Why is that? Because it is making good use of that fear that we are so prone to worry. How much better to keep your mind on the Lord and to keep your trust in Him. But you have to take control of your thought life. His mind is stayed on you because He trusts in you. Romans 8:6 says, to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. See, to think the world's way, to just think with the natural mind, to be carnally minded, there's no peace there. But to be spiritually minded is life and peace. I've heard this saying before where somebody says, oh, he's too heavenly minded to be of any earthly value or earthly good. I've never met anybody that way. I have met some kooky people who got saved and they were still kooky. They were still weird. You know, I mean, listen. Well, that's enough of that. I better move on. But here's the point. To be truly spiritually minded is not to be weird and kooky. To be spiritually minded is to have your mind on the things of God. To have your mind on the Spirit and being led of the Spirit. That's being spiritually minded. That you're always focused on the Lord. And that mind is life and peace. Colossians 3:2, set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. Don't tell me you can't control your thoughts. There's a word for that. Crazy. I hope that when you have horrible thoughts pop in your head, you can control them. Amen? At least when that comes to your pastor. If you start having bad thoughts, you control those thoughts. Set your minds on the things above, not on things on the earth. This is what the Bible tells us. We wonder, oh, why do I struggle? Why am I having such a hard time with peace? Why am I so anxious? In fact, a lot of believers, they just decide to just go ahead and live in it. Just live in the stress, live in the anxiety. This is what there is. No, it's not. That's a lie. That is not what Jesus has for you. Perfect peace, a double portion for the one whose mind is stayed on Him. You set your mind on the things above, not on things on the earth. The great commandment is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul and all your strength. What does it mean to love Him with all your mind? It means that in our thoughts, we love Him. We think about Him and we love Him. In our thoughts, we adore Him. In our thoughts, we magnify, glorify, we worship Him. In our thoughts, oh, we think about Him all the time. Anybody ever been in love? If you're sitting with your spouse, you better say, yeah, right now. Say, well, not anymore. Once was, but you've been there. Anybody been in love? Yeah. And when you're in love with somebody, you think about them. Sometimes you're driving down the road and you're just thinking about them. You're busy doing your work and you're thinking about them. And any little thing that you see or hear or smell can trigger a thought, and you're thinking about them again. That's the way it ought to be with us in the Lord. That we really love Him with all our mind. Not as we think about Him once in a while. If we get in trouble, I'll think about the Lord. No, we think about Him all the time because we're in love with Him. We keep our minds on Him. That's the way it ought to be. A man named Paternus wrote these words to his son. He said, first of all, my child, think magnificently of God. Magnify His providence. Adore His power. Pray to Him frequently and incessantly. Bear Him always in your mind. Teach your thoughts to reverence Him in every place, for there is no place where He is not. Therefore, my child, fear and worship and love God first and last. Think magnificently of Him. Oh, how our thoughts should be turned towards the Lord in thanksgiving and praise and worship. Oh, how we should love Him with all our mind. And when we become focused upon Him, when our minds are stayed upon Him, oh, how it's so natural then to just trust Him. And we have perfect peace. Our minds are at rest. I want to remind you of the words of Jesus in Matthew chapter 11 when Jesus says, come to Me. And He says, I will give you rest. And He's not talking about taking a break from your job. He's not talking about a rest from your responsibilities. He says, rest for your souls. Your mind doesn't need to be troubled and worried and anxious. Jesus wants your mind to be at rest. This is for you, church. This is for each and every one of us. To truly be free from that troubled mind, that anxious life. One last verse this morning, Psalm 46 and 10, He says, be still and know that I am God. You see, we need to be at rest. And I just encourage you, if you don't have peace this morning, you need to trust Him. You need to get your mind on Him and trust Him. Stand with me. We're going to pray. As we pray, I'd like for our prayer partners to come. Father, I just thank You for the peace, the perfect peace that's available to us. And I pray, Father, that each and every person here today would find new freedom, new victory, Lord, in living this life of peace. Oh, Father, I pray that we would find such a peace that even when trouble comes, we're not shaken. Father, I pray that in every heart and life here this morning, Lord, that there would be a choice and a decision to fix their mind, to set their mind on the things above, on You, Lord. And Lord, that we would not allow other things to take Your place in the forefront of our mind, but You be glorified always. in all things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. If you're here this morning and you've never really made Jesus the Lord of your life, I'm not talking about if you've never heard about Him or if you've never prayed a prayer and asked for forgiveness. I'm talking about if you've never made Jesus the Lord of your life. I want to tell you that there is a peace that's available that Jesus can give you. And I encourage you to come and turn your life over to Jesus. I know there are many of you here this morning that you've allowed your negative thoughts, anxious thoughts, anxiety, and worry to get the best of you in some area of life or maybe many areas, but I'm telling you, you need to get free this morning. The Bible says, Jesus said, you shall know the truth, and the truth will make you free. And I'm telling you, this is the truth, and you need to get free from that worry and anxiety this morning and have this peace, double peace. It's available to you. I'm going to dismiss the congregation, and as I do, I encourage you to come for prayer. Listen to the words of 2 Thessalonians 3:16. May the Lord of peace Himself give you peace always in every way. The Lord be with you all. Amen. If you need prayer, you come.